let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you.
Yes, wonderful to be here on this beautiful spring morning.
It's gorgeous out there, and I think that it's going to be sort of the rollover into a feel of summer, because it's going to be 90 degrees today, 90 or 91,
right,
I know,
right,
which is fine with me, because I'm sort of temperature unaware. That's what Dora says.
Right, right. But when you're out there pulling the weeds by the sweat of your brow because of the curse on the earth, I'm sure you're feeling it, aren't you?
We talked about that a lot when we did all those Genesis podcasts.
Just think, what was it, 72?
Yep.
A podcast, right?
It is amazing.
Wow, we got through the whole book of Genesis.
Yep.
Now, if each one averages out to be what? Between 20 some minutes,
yes,
or something like
say,
that.
Say 20, yeah.
That's a lot of hours of hearing, isn't it?
It's a lot of hours, a lot of time. I mean, you know, we get together every single week, pretty much every
right.
single week to do one of these.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And now we're starting something completely new.
Yes.
Right?
I'm very excited about this just because the story in Genesis was so amazing. You know, of course, you have the creation of the earth and then the startup of Abraham. I mean, all of those,
right.
the stories, that whole family, the crazy story of Jacob and Joseph,
right.
and all of that. And now we are rolling out of that and into Exodus chapter 1. And
that's right.
Not so amazing, I guess. I guess it's, what, 300 or 400 years later now? That's the where this begins?
Well, 300 or 400 years after. They were in Egypt.
Yes.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, that's debated, though, how long they were there. Okay, it really gets down to what Pharaoh is the Pharaoh of the Exodus. Okay,
right. Yeah.
The early date, that if you take the kings in 1 Kings, the dating there, 400 years before that, would take it for Thutmose, okay? And, you know, he was a big, famous 18th dynasty sort of guy, right? But scholars tend to bump it up to Seti the First as being the pharaoh of let's see if I got it right, because my Egyptology isn't really all that great. Okay, but
that's not where you spent your time, right?
I could do a lot better with all that stuff. I'm really focused on the theology of it. It could have been Seti the First as the pharaoh that, you know, buddied up to Joseph and his family,
right?
And that Ramses is the one that, you know, if you watch all of these movies, you know, like The Prince of Egypt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's always Ramses, okay? So that, in my mind, it really doesn't matter because years... And calculating years in the Old Testament is often symbolic and rounded off. Right,
right? Sure, of course.
You know, they're not looking at definite precision on that. And that's not something wrong with them. You know, that's just us modern Westerners, right?
That's
you know,
it. And
right.
That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, this is why I'm thinking, oh, okay, so when Joseph was alive, it was probably this time, and now it's, say, 430
right.
years. I'm reading this stuff, you know, because I
right.
just want to know. But yes, I understand that there were no big calendars and clocks and things like that, and people didn't keep track of things like that.
And the important thing is, I think we brought this out before, just a previous post or podcast, is that it is in their memory.
Yeah,
okay, it's these things happen in space and time, and that they were handed down to us. And so we can all embrace the historicity of these things, okay? Mm-hmm. Israel really was called into Egypt, right? The family, after the patriarchal family was established in a promised land. But then they had to go on to Egypt, okay? And then they were enslaved.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are etched in the memory of the world.
Yes.
It really is. Now, history might look, come at it a different way, but what would you rather do, Danny? Live within the memory or to be on the outside looking in saying, well, you know, I wonder if who exactly was the Pharaoh of the Exodus and all that sort of stuff, right? You know what
yes.
I mean? I'm not discounting that history thing because
right.
we're Westerners, right?
Yep.
But they looked at it very differently.
Yeah.
Right.
I understand that. I do. I'm just putting on my, you know, 21st century hat, you know, that could, because
right.
I'm more of an engineer. And so
yeah,
I understand. And I love the story being the most important thing.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not whether or not it was a blue marble or a yellow, you know, I mean,
right.
you know, that
right. Right.
Matter.
Yeah. 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 And of course, as we get into the book of Exodus, we do embrace the history of it, but it's highly stylized history.
Yeah.
We're going to come about this, you know, it's stylized. It's written for a theological purpose to imprint something on your soul, you know.
Yeah.
So, and we ran into some of that when we were looking at the family of Joseph and how it's not just the family, it's our family.
Right.
And, you know, and it's written for our spiritual formation. And so, and as we shall see, so is the book of Exodus. I mean, this whole thing makes a splendid allegory, which really brings it home to our souls. And we're going to talk about that on and on and on. Okay.
Yeah, good,
so
yeah.
This stuff is so rich, you know what I mean? And I, you know, here I am again, I keep on saying it, I'm 71 now. And, you know, right now I'm hunkered down in Leviticus. I can't describe to you, Danny, the commentaries. They're all laid out all over my office, right?
Oh, good gosh.
Lord, you know. So I'm learning a whole lot at this, and there's no end to learning of it. So it's just great.
Yeah. So yeah. It's fun to do these podcasts and to sort of lay these things out for people in the way that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that people can just understand more about it.
Right.
And then maybe go back and take another look at it and maybe even
right.
read a commentary or two. Because that's actually what I'm doing now.
Yeah, and people complain. Maybe so I hear some people complain, oh, I don't understand the podcast. I can, you know, have to listen two or three times. That's fine. You know, just just think of what I'm doing on my end. It's not just
yes.
this stuff. It's just I'm pulling it out of my hat. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, your preparation is a lot more than mine.
You know, it's just... It's joyful, you know what I mean? But yeah, right.
It's a lot of work.
So,
okay, so this begins, I loved it because it begins right just as the end of Genesis, the first chapter of Exodus, amazingly, starts talking about Joseph's family.
Joseph's family.
I thought, great. It's a nice segue right into
the next
book.
Yeah, I mean, they were very, very successful, you know, in Egypt. They started multiplying as God promised. And then success always draws envy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Envy and attention.
Envy and attention, right? I mean, that's just that's just the way it is in life. And so if you're really good at something or you start people taking notice of it, there's something in our human nature saying, well, you know, I'm going to pull this guy down.
Right, exactly. Drop him down off his ladder a little
drop
bit.
Him
yeah.
down,
his pedestal,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the pharaohs are saying, hey, man, these people, we need to drop them down, you know?
Well, right. I think they were also kind of worried that they were getting to be a very, very large organization. They're very family-oriented, and they're very aware of their own separation kind of from the Egyptians, I think.
Right, and there's a virtue in following God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we don't know how long they did follow God, because by the time Moses came around, they had even forgotten who their God was for the most part.
Right.
I mean, we don't know how pervasive that forgetfulness was, but you know, when you're under bondage for centuries, you know.
You kind of forget who you are.
Yeah, right. You do. You do.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
We don't know how pervasive that forgetfulness was, but, you know, when you're under bondage for centuries, you know.
You kind of forget who you are.
Yeah, right. You do. You do. Yeah. And again, that's symbolic too, you know, finding out who we are. And that's what the book of Exodus is about, you know, identity and that sort of thing. So all these are good things, right? So a little bit about Egypt, you know, when you think of Egypt, what do you think of?
I always think of going down and being
going down,
down to Egypt and being,
well, that's that... really interesting because going down is not meant in the Bible in a geographical sense.
Right, exactly.
It's going down, you know. However, when we look at it, we see, the Blue Nile and the White Nile, which is south, right? Which you'd think is down.
Yeah.
That's Upper Egypt.
Right. It's not like the Mississippi River. It flows the other way, right?
Well, yeah. Now, yeah, because this Mississippi flows from north to south.
Right.
But the Nile flows from south to north.
Yeah.
And so the Egyptians were completely reoriented direction-wise than we northerners, okay, with the North Star and all that sort of thing, right?
Sure, yeah.
And quite frankly, the Nile, you know, as far as a geographical thing, was opposite to the way we look at it, right? The Delta region was the lower Egypt, okay? But Egypt, quite frankly, and I think the Israelites were really more oriented toward the east.
Okay.
The rising of the sun, okay, because that symbolized life.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's other things that are interesting about north. Each direction has some sort of spiritual meaning, really. Like with the Egyptians, they put their necropolis in, you know, the Valley of the Kings and stuff is on the west side of the Nile.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the setting sun.
Oh, right. Setting. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. But directions are very important, you know, symbolically, as we shall see it and as it unfolds.
Yeah.
Right.
When I said going down, what I meant was going into evil.
Yeah.
You're thinking, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right.
That, because that's what Jacob thought, you know, and he felt like that's the place that's like New York City, where there's a lot of things that he did not want to immerse himself in.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. So the whole nations idea is complex. So each motif has got what? Remember we talked about motif? Every motif is a bright side and a dark side.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The bright side of Egypt and all the nations around, which, you know, also symbolize something given their character. Okay. So if you look at Edom, we'll be talking about Edom, okay, and Ammon, the Ammonite, right? The neighboring, Philistia, all the nations that are around have a certain character and therefore symbolize something, right? God certainly brings judgment upon the evil of the nations, but we can never, ever forget that these nations exist because God wants them to exist, and that Israel's job was really to convert these nations and bring them to God, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
Egypt, is it evil? Well, yes. Okay, and it symbolizes something for them. On the other hand, we'll get to, you know, the prophets who actually prophesied that Egypt is going to be, you know, can't remember exactly off the top of my head what it is right now, but it's in Isaiah where they are not only judged, you know, oracles against the nations, but they're also going to be redeemed, right?
Ah, okay.
So nationality in nations and stuff is very complex. Okay.
Well, I like the way that you put it, that there's a dark side and a light side,
right?
Because it's like that for everything,
right?
And so that's a good way to sort of couch Egypt.
Right, right.
Yeah, that it has a future in being redeemed. Yeah.
Right. We'll see. I mean, you know, God cares for the Egyptians, even though he brings terrible judgment on them. He's really not at war with the Egyptians, as we shall see. He's really at war with Pharaoh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So he cares. He cares for all the nations, right? And that's a good thing. Okay. So that's what we have. Egypt was old. They're in, you know, they calculate since the fourth millennia their time by dynasties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes so far back, you know, back in the fourth century. So much so, it's Herodotus, the Greek historian who actually went traveling around. And the Greeks were, in general, so impressed with the Egyptians because their priesthood went back to hoary antiquity, you know, before time was even recorded. The halls of Karnak, the palaces that were built there, they were the inspiration for, you know, the Parthenon and everything in a Greco-Roman classical style was really birthed out of Egypt, right?
Yeah.
And all the way to Washington, D.C.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So you can see, you know, and not only that, but we think of Egypt kind of like off by itself in Africa, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt was deeply, deeply connected to the continent, drawing from the tribes that go the deep into Africa. The Egyptian Book of the Dead, okay, is a compilation of all sorts of ritual and occultic stuff that wasn't just invented there in Egypt, but it was drawn upon from the continent itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's another thing to keep in mind. There's all sorts of interesting things about Africa, you know. Afro-Semitic languages, there's connection to tribal languages with even Semitic languages, that is even Hebrew. I mean, you know. So how this all came about, we don't have a clue, right? But just to show you that the nations, even before history, they were in commerce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think people picked up and said, okay, let's take a vacation.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Oh, let's go see the pyramids, right?
Yeah.
Okay. travel was dangerous, but it was happening, right? I don't even know if the whole idea of a vacation existed back
probably
then,
not.
Right?
They were just working.
Yeah, right.
Surviving.
You know, so then certainly, I don't know, maybe there were cruises up and down the Nile.
Big boats. Yeah.
Big boats.
Windows going on the side.
Yeah. That's right. So, you know, humanity was very sophisticated back then, and this whole idea of chronological snobbery that has come out of the Enlightenment, it drove C.S. Lewis nuts, and it really makes me angry too, you know.
Mm.
These people, they were just like you and me,
right?
When you really get down to it, in a lot of ways, right? They were smart. I mean, the way they built these pyramids.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I mean,
the engineering.
Okay, to think of these as primitive cavemen type people is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we find out that the world is symbolized for them there. You know, that's a place that bedazzles. God has them succeed in the world. He wants us to be successful in the world, right?
Yeah.
Because that brings honor and glory to him. So we find that they become successful. And then I think in our next post, we're going to talk about what happened, okay, with Moses after, you know, the 400 years that they were there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, what do you think about this? I think we've pretty much introduced it.
Yeah, I think this is a great introduction to this first chapter, and I think that the story is going to flow really well from this point. You know, things are going to start to happen for the Egyptians and the Israelites.
Yeah, and the new music that you picked out for this.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
Our theme music, yes.
Our theme music, because it's all about adventure. You know?
Yeah. It's got some drama.
And,
yeah.
And it is a high drama of Exodus, you know. I mean, Genesis is pretty dramatic.
Yes.
But nothing like what we're going to see now.
Yes. It's going to be
great.
And
then we get the book of Leviticus, where it's like, oh, we've been through the rapids, and all of a sudden everything's in the calm after the waterfalls.
Yeah, right? Class one rapids, they call it.
Right. Yeah. But right now, for the next year,
50 posts.
It's going to be rapid.
Okay.
Yeah. We're in the rapids now.
Okay.
Next week.
Feeling good about it. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
God bless you. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.